Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
When I first started dating and getting into relationships, yeah, I was very like old school thinking, like, oh, and very, I wanted to provide and help my man no matter what. Mm-hmm. I enabled a big baby for a very long time.
Right.
And that ended up hurting me a lot more in the long run.
Can you have a best friend of the opposite sex?
I don't believe in that, no. When I hit high school and I moved to High Point, mm-hmm, then all of a sudden I was no longer the ugly black girl. I was the pretty light-skinned girl. You're a man. As a female, though, mm-hmm, I can put on some Taylor Swift and code switch a little bit, and yeah, that police officer is going to let me go.
And I can't sleep. My wishes don't work. Disney, what did you do to me? I ain't got hair like Punzo. And I can't sleep like Beauty. My wishes don't work like Wendy. Disney, what you do to me? I ain't got hair like Punzo. And I can't sleep like Beauty. My wishes don't work like Wendy. Disney, what you do to me? Wishing on a star.
Yo, 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 welcome to the Highest Point Podcast. This is a show for everyone who's willing to put in the labor to be greater, to reach the highest point. Now, speaking about reaching the highest point, we have a very, very special guest in the building. She's an artist, she's a poet, she's a songwriter, none other than Miss Lottie Dottie. What's good with you?
What's up, love? How are you?
I am doing great. I'm so glad to have you on today. You know,
glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And even before we get into it, you know, today I'd like to just ask right now in the present, how are you?
I'm great, actually. Very positive, very optimistic. Very optimistic. I have a lot to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
Right now, a lot of things have slowly just been falling into place,
mm-hmm,
without necessarily. I mean, yes, I'm trying and I'm putting in work, but it's not like your typical every day. I'm really trying to be one with where I'm supposed to be going energetically,
right, mm-hmm,
in the world, yeah, and like what my real purpose is, and just trying to let it fall into place.
Yeah.
And not take control so much. So
We can be some control freaks now. You know, how do you stay a course, or, you know, not be derailed if you feel like it's falling slowly into place? You know, how do you face those things when you get a little impatient?
I freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I freak out a little bit. I will freak out a little bit. And I let the emotions flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the emotions flow, I remember, like, okay, we have to do something to get out of this. We've allowed it to take its course,
right,
and it's okay. But now we've got to do something that makes us feel good. So I like to do a lot of grounding. I like to go outside a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very big nature girl.
Yeah.
So I can sit there and watch that for hours. And that kind of like brings me back into a completely different space.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we all freak out, but, you know, we got to put the pedal to the metal, put the rubber to the road, and actually try to do something to help our situations as well. So I definitely understand that. So, you know, also on this show, we like to focus in on the journey of our guests, kind of get some insight from them on their journey, because either success or enlightenment. It sounds like you got some type of enlightenment through your experiences, ups and downs through life. Like, people see the smile on your face today and I might think, OK, maybe everything was given to Lottie Dottie. Maybe life is just simple and easy. But we know a lot of time behind those smiles, it can be a lot that people have no idea about. Mm-hmm. So I did also want to ask you, can you tell the audience where you're from and kind of what was your family dynamics growing up?
Ooh, I love and hate the question of where you're from because I grew up in so many different areas.
Okay.
I was born in Chicago, but my dad and a lot of his family moved to Houston when I was really young. And then, of course, I've been here in the North Carolina, in the Carolinas for off and on for like 10 years. We've stayed in Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, Illinois. So I bounced around a lot as a kid. I was the first, opposite race on each side of my family. My mom is white. My dad is black. That endured a lot of different challenges. That I didn't even understand really until like high school and adulthood. Right. And I'm still like unpacking a lot of that. But I would like to say in some areas, I think of myself as Hannah Montana, the best of both worlds specifically, because there were times where I had everything. I didn't have to want for anything. And I knew where my, I could eat whatever I want, get whatever I want. Yeah. And then there were times where I was down in the dumps. I was in the gutter, in crack houses, in cars. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so it's been a lot of ups and downs. But the movement of my entire life, I feel like, has shaped me into the most understanding and empathetic person. Like, I've been around so many people and so many things. I can relate and enjoy so many things and so many different aesthetics or just mentalities. Like, I can evolve and adapt to it. And I think that that's really what life is about. Yeah. And so I love that for me.
Yeah, that's dope. I love that as well. You know, one thing I know is, like, especially in this social media era, like, there can be a lot of judgmental people out there. And one thing about experience, it does give you that empathy because you actually been through something. Most judgmental people haven't really been through much because they don't, you know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts on
that? Yes, I would say yes and no. I can see that, but I feel like people judge what they feel like they can't do or they can't. That too. I feel like judgment comes with insecurity, deep-rooted insecurity in themselves. And I don't think that has, I mean, yes, like experiencing other things can make you more secure, but not always necessarily. Some people have been through the down and dumps and they don't know how to make themselves happy. So then when they see somebody else happy, they can judge the littlest things to make themselves feel better. But that's not really because they didn't go through nothing. They just haven't mentally learned, like, me trashing you isn't going to make my situation better.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of people, like, I know you was talking about the ups and downs, being in these places. Like, you could be in a crack house and be in there with judgmental people. You can be in a church and be around judgmental people. It's all about mindset. You know, like, you still have this mindset in, been through many ups and downs like a lot of us. And, you know, you've came to a place where you're empathetic and not judgmental. So that's a specific mindset. So I can definitely feel, you know, what you're saying there. And even when it comes to being biracial, I have biracial nieces, nephews, things like that. When it comes to navigating those family spaces, like, okay, you're the mixed girl coming to the black side, you're the mixed girl coming to the white side. Sometimes it can be hard to fit in sometimes. Like, was there any, when you got old enough, like, and became aware of certain situations, did you feel anything in any one of those sides of the family when you come in? Did you feel like you were accepted or even looked at differently at all?
growing up as a kid, I didn't see it. But I was surrounded predominantly by the white side of my family growing up, like child, adolescence. My grandparents on my mother's side took care of me. I was in boarding schools. But when I hit high school and I moved to High Point, then all of a sudden I was no longer the ugly black girl. I was the pretty light-skinned girl. And that's not all it's cracked up to be. I'm it's not. My second week of high school, I was jumped. Just because specifically, like, I didn't even know the girls' names. I had never spoken to the girls at all. Their boyfriend had spoken to his homie about me. And they just decided that they were gonna, I was like, okay, whatever. But so it was a drastic, change because growing up with my white side of my family, it was, there were so many slurs and innuendos that I did not understand.
Right.
Because I wasn't around the black side of my
family. Yo, they dissing you.
Like ridiculous things. Like I grew up with being called so many different variations of monkey.
Right.
And I thought it was a term of endearment. Right, I'm a little chunky monkey. No.
Yeah.
My grandparents are completely white and they know exactly what they're saying. And like, no, there were monkeys on birthday cakes and presents and and didn't know that it was even bad until I was in high school.
They were professional sneak dissers.
My entire life. It made, and I, all my life I grew up thinking like, it was just because of me looking like my mother or reminding them of my mother, but it was also my skin tone.
Yeah.
And they were just, that's just how they are. That's just who they are. Certain people can't change.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, some people just conditioned and grew up that age range. Like when you get past a certain age, they kind of like stuck in their ways. Fortunately, some people change. Unfortunately, some people stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you experience those things like being the light-skinned girl, they coming in jumping you because of somebody else's attraction to you, that can be different. Because one thing, like, I'm a light-skinned male. Some people think that I'm mixed, but I'm not, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I experience things similar because people assume.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the nerve to have freckles and some red hair. They're like, okay, mm-hmm. this nigga weird.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, it's not weird.
So, you know, I've seen those things. Like, what's crazy is, like, a lot of times the people was talk about how dark-skinned people are oppressed. And they'll assume that lighter-skinned people are put on some type of pedestal and get different advantages. But that's not how it works. Like, just like white people were looking at you that way. And then now we also got to deal with our own people looking at us in a certain type of way with these imaginary privileges they think that we have. We don't. And we're getting treated a certain way by our own people, you know? So it's like doubles in some cases.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the darker your skin is, the more you are oppressed.
How
I
so?
Do feel, and I, even with my light skin and even knowing that, like, pretty privilege is a thing. You feel what I'm saying? And I do. And while though at the end of the day, they still look at me as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
They're less threatened.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And they don't... They're easier submitted to my lighter skin.
Like white people?
Yeah, white people are. And that's not something that that's something that I have used to my full advantage. I can't deny that. Like, I know.
White people don't look at me like that. They look at me as a nigga. Like,
well, that one, what's
so crazy.
One is because you're a man.
Yeah, it's a difference.
It's a man, and it's also an energy thing. You know what I'm saying? So you're not a beta man. You have a certain presence and energy about you.
Mm-hmm.
So the lighter skin doesn't really care. They don't care about the lighter skin because you're a man. As a female, though,
mm-hmm.
I can put on some Taylor Swift and code switch a little bit, and that police officer is going to let me go.
Right.
Without any problem, without any hitch. Yeah. And it's just, and I know it's because you think I'm almost white, especially with certain hairs.
Right. And then features, like you got a lot of features that look black, but like when I look at you, like your nose look kind of like, you probably like you get that from your mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have those features like that would help me blend in, like. So, but I have code switched. I do remember a time like from college. I'm like, yo, I cannot get a job nowhere when I came here to Greensboro. I used to have long hair,
mm-hmm.
braids. You know, I always kept them neat, but it was very long. But then, like, as soon as I'm like, my mom's like, you're going to probably have to cut your hair. She knew something that I want. I was fronting and just not wanting to face it. So as soon as I cut my hair, put on the same suit, went in for an interview, and I got the job, saying the same things. And I got the job. I'm like, dang, I got to try to force myself to look like them to be accepted and even to get a job that worked, which was kind of crazy. But I don't think it's like that as much. I'm a little bit older, but I'm sure it's still real out there like that now. So, yeah. So that's dope.
I mean, I can't. It also helps. My government name is very, very palm.
So on paper, you're good, too.
on paperwork, which is crazy, because it wasn't they weren't trying to do that. My dad was mad at my mom, and he named me after her, and that is how I got my government name.
So they weren't together when you were born, or they were for a little while?
My mom was on heroin. My dad was a dope boy. Okay. And they were off and on.
Got it.
Drugs is crazy.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, wow, you definitely have experienced a lot. So behind that smile is a lot of stories. And then it's a lot of stories that other people share as well. So I'm glad you are being open with us today talking about those things.
Oh, yeah. I'm an open book. I'm not one to front or lie about anything that I've done or been through.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the day's got to end, and it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I know that I'm not the only person that's been through the things that I've been through.
Right.
But I do know that my story might help others, which is a big part of my music and why I've been really trying to push my word out more.
Yeah.
Because I know that I don't have the mentality that I have. Mm-hmm. While going through the things that I've been through for no reason.
Absolutely. And even talking about that when it comes to like your music and things that people, you know, when they see you, they just don't know. You had a song called You Don't Know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to recite, maybe paraphrase a little bit of some of your lyrics that you say there on You Don't Know. You said, you don't know the things that I've been through. You don't know the things that I've done, but I can tell you a few if you want me to. But baby, you don't know, you don't want to know the truth. So I bat these pretty eyes, let it run through your mind, whatever you think is just fine. So that's deep. And like, I was like, wow, we got to really, really unpack that. So, you know, so is it just fine to like be okay with letting a loved one run with whatever narrative they can create due to the absence of you revealing what you really been through?
I don't feel like that would be considered a loved one.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, if you don't have, if you're going to run with the narrative in your head without like genuinely wanting, because a lot of people say they want to know your story,
mm-hmm.
and they want to know your hurt, and they want to know your pain. And then when you don't put your pain and your hurt out on the table, it's like, oh, you're too hurt for me.
Right.
But it's like you just said that I didn't even act or look like I was hurt. But now that right. you know what I've been through, it's like you can't deal with it. But you don't have to deal with it. That's my past.
Right.
Most people don't want to see that. So I don't feel like that would be a loved one.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'll let you run whatever narrative you want to run with if you're not going to come to the source and genuinely care.
Right. Yeah, totally get that. Now, when you feel that your partner may not be ready for that truth, if they ask, if they do love you, if you've seen these things where, okay, this person, like, they really care for me, and he heard you speaking about, hey, I've been some things you may not want to know. And he said, you know what, babe? I want to know. But in your mind, you feel like, I don't know if you're really ready for this yet. You know, do you still tell them even though you feel like they're not ready, or you just go ahead and let them know because they asked for it?
I don't think that I've been in that situation.
Okay.
I'm pretty much an open book.
Yeah.
Like I don't hide anything. It's not about hiding anything. It's really whether, like, if you get to the point of you like asking me deeply questions or we're doing that, then it flows out. Cause I'm not going to lie or hide it.
Yeah. And that's the best way to deal with stuff.
Yeah. Cause if we're getting to that point and you're asking me, okay, you care, you're asking the questions, I'm going to, what's going to determine is how you respond, of course.
Right.
But I'm picky energetically wise, I would say. So I feel like I wouldn't even be in enough space with somebody for them to feel like that without it possibly maybe being really genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. In order for you to be like equally yoked with someone, do you feel like they should be able to, or should have experienced some of the things, or at least 50% of what you've been through, in order for them to really understand you and for you to have a successful relationship? Or you think you can just be with a total polar opposite and be just fine?
Mm-mm. I've tried that and I realized that there's a different mentality. When you're raised on survival versus being raised on love, it is a complete different mentality on the smallest things. And that causes a lot of friction.
Yeah.
And if somebody else can't understand that because they haven't been through it, then it's you get painted as you get painted as the bad guy. You get painted as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, in reality, it's not the villain. Mm-hmm. You're just, I'm operating off of survival.
Right.
You just don't understand survival.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I don't think it's singular though. Like, you can be operating off survival and love.
Yes. Because most definitely.
I had both. You know, I was living off of, in survival mode, but I had a lot of love as well. So that helped me because my mom's and my pops were there. We didn't have much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We was in a surroundings where lots of drugs, you know, gangs. We having to navigate that space.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having them as my backbone too really helped. And they, you know, their wisdom, you know, I still did some stuff, you know. But having that love with them gave me that foundation to help me get out of that situation. And so I did have both. Do you think you had both, or you lacked some of the love and kind of got that later?
I definitely had both.
Okay.
I definitely had both. I didn't understand both for a long time, especially dealing with both of my parents on drugs.
Right.
Or the beginning of my life. Now, my dad did an amazing job and I'm so proud of him. He changed his life around.
Oh, wow.
And he moved to Texas in 2008 and has not looked back. He's, but by the time that happened, mentally, I was in a space of, I already was an adult mentally. So there was a lot of friction and I didn't understand. Yeah. Like,
you weren't until at that point mentally yet.
Mentally, I wasn't at a point where it was like, okay, I need a dad, but he was ready to be dad. And that caused friction.
After so long, you went without dad. Like, why you come on here?
After so long, I went without a parent figure for real, because I really took care of me and my little brother by ourselves.
Right.
My grandparents were very oblivious to my mother's addiction. And they played into her and enabled her at every chance they got. On top of us being Black,
right,
they didn't want us around. So they would pay for apartments. They'd pay all the bills for her apartment and put us in there with her.
Right.
And she'd be in there doped up.
Right.
And I would be in there making sure me and my little brother were good.
Right.
So going from that to, okay, now my dad's here and they're cooking and doing all of this and telling me what to do and what I can and can't do. And I'm like, this isn't that. So it bumped a lot, and which was probably the stupidest thing that I could have done, because I wish I could have gone back and like just been a damn child right then. Like, okay, I have the opportunity to be a kid. Let me be a kid. No, I wanted to continue being an adult.
Yeah.
And then that transpired.
Absolutely. And like snowballed.
It did. It snowballed.
Now, you talked about empathy earlier, but also you talked about how your mother's parents enabled her. It's a thin line between enabling someone and having empathy for them. So what have you learned when it comes to your life? Okay, when do I need to shut off being empathetic and not enabling someone? How do you navigate that when you move in?
I think I'm still learning that. In all actuality, I think that was the biggest thing that I took into my relationships. Because I was when I first started dating and getting into relationships, I was very like old school thinking, like, oh, and very, I wanted to provide and help my man no matter what. I didn't care about how much money he had or or whatever it was. I'd help him and help him pursue his dreams. And and in reality, I enabled a lot of toxicity and I enabled a big baby for a very long time.
Right.
And that ended up hurting me a lot more in the long run. So I think that I'm still trying to learn to balance. Like, I can be empathetic for you without giving you my last. I can't help everybody. Because it's not even just with like romantic relationships, even.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Platonic,
absolutely,
friendships. I will be okay. I have $50 to my name. You need help with this. Here's this $50. I'll figure my thing out some other how.
Right.
And I have got to stop doing that, because that'd be my downfall.
yeah.
But I mean, not to that extent, but pretty much.
Yeah, totally. Dang, that's real. It's definitely a thin line. When it came to me with friendships and things like that, I always try to, always be there. Someone asks me for something, I'll be there for them automatically. But I barely ever ask for anything because I don't want to be disappointed if they can't be there for me. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm trying to work on too. I'm like, I can't even say my close friends haven't been there. I just haven't never asked them to. And because I'd be so stuck on, I don't want to be disappointed and look at them no way. And also I was taught, like, don't expect from others what you do because everybody not you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try not to put that on them. And I don't think that's fair because, like, everybody just don't have the same mindset as you, you know?
Yes, and I feel like yes and no. I feel like to a certain extent, you should be able to come to your friends, especially if they come to you. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should. I feel like if you're in a friendship, even a friendship, I don't feel like it's 50-50 if one person is telling one friend all of their problems and coming to them and opening up, and the other person's not doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that's genuine.
Yeah, it's a one-way relationship. It can be one way if you're doing that. So yeah, I definitely talk to my closest ones about, you know, things I go through, get their advice on certain things. I just don't ask anybody for that. I can struggle for a long time without saying a word. And then, like, it made me think about when you was talking about the relationship things, like, okay, I can go 50-50. But it really sounded like you was pouring into someone and they weren't pouring back.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's fine to support someone, but, like, if they're not supporting you back, like, you're going to be going into the negative soon. You're never getting replenished. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I wanted to also talk about another song that I heard, New Life. You said, so a bar you had in there was like, manipulation no longer something I take place in. Can you talk to me about what's the situation where you feel like you may have manipulated someone compared to a situation where you realize you've been manipulated?
I feel like, I haven't.
You manipulated somebody.
I'm not saying that I haven't ever, like, manipulated a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowing how to talk to somebody and talking to somebody differently, that's manipulation.
Yeah. Even code switching is probably a little bit of manipulation.
It's like manipulation. You feel what I'm saying? So anything that not saying that at all, mm-hmm. but a situation where I've manipulated somebody.
Mm-hmm. Or you can start off with where you feel like you've been manipulated, you know, because sometimes you don't realize until it's over and done with, like, yo, they really played me. They were manipulating me.
I feel like sometimes I don't control my emotions in relationships.
Mm.
Sometimes I allow my attachment to supersede logic.
Right.
And I feel like that becomes manipulating, mm-hmm. In a sense.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of subconscious and it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm gonna cry to make you feel bad. It's just my emotions. I'm just not holding my emotions back. Even though I could.
Right.
I'm not holding them back.
Right.
I'm just going to allow them and not think of logic.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I could see how that is and understand completely. Like, that's a little bit of a manipulation, in a sense, even though it's something that I'm not aware of. I'm doing, it's something that, there's so many different things that people are naturally brainwashed into doing just from growing up.
Yeah.
Or just naturally not aware of the toxicity in the communication.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a very big deep dive in the past few years on, like, communication, especially between, like, females and men.
Right.
Because the brain is so different between us.
It is.
And not a lot of people understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, so me feeling like I have, because I know the understanding of a man's logical brain and a female's emotional brain, I will sometimes I allow my emotions to overcome and just rode with my emotions and not tried to think of logic at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And even some men pull that card of using their emotions, try to manipulate a woman to stay or do something they want, act like they're extremely hurt, have some crocodile tears, crocodile tears, things like that. And even like innately conditioned, kind of like what you was talking about there. You know, I have a daughter, and I can notice sometimes family members will like capitulate or kind of just give her way if she starts crying or something like that. And I'm like, because it's hard to see a young little girl cry. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to see a woman cry. But that's also conditioned. They also don't realize, okay, once they get older, they're going to use that as manipulation. They're going to try to cry to get their way because that's what happened growing up. And they're not even intentionally doing it. So, you know, even when my daughter cried, it might be hurting me in my chest. If I told her no, I was like, nah, you can't do that, baby girl. That's not the way. There's no need to cry right now. If you, I can understand you hurt. You don't. You want to have it your way right now, but this is just not going down because I don't want her to grow up thinking that, okay, I can just get my way if I do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be counterproductive for her. It's going to make her lazy. Like, no, you need to guess, go ahead and do what you know is right and do what you follow the direction. You can't sit here and try to cry to get your way to avoid doing the work or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the type of little things I try to think of, foresight. But, you know, my wife, she might not understand my thought process because, you know, she's thinking from a, you know, nurturing space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she, I want to nurture my child right now. But a lot of time men think of, okay, if I do this right now, later on, she's going to do this.
Logical.
You know what I'm saying?
Logical versus emotional in the now.
Yeah.
Women are very present creatures.
Yes.
We are emotion and presence.
Yes.
Like, whatever.
And that's why it's so great with us together. Because another instance where she did great, I'm like, yo, I didn't think of that. Because, like, I got a message from school about my son. He's in band. He's like, basically, we're going to kick him out because he's not doing the dress code he's supposed to. And I saw the message that the guy was saying to him. It was a little rude. He like, yo, we're in this band. We don't basically need you. If you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, you cannot come back. But when I looked at it as a man, I'm like, I mean, that was a little rude, but he right. Get your shit together. Like, if you know the rules, why are you walking in there without being dressed out? But
as a female, you ain't have to say it like that. My wife was like,
why in the world is this man speaking like this? But I'm thinking like his message is not lying, though.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? But what she did, she came in and came from a whole different angle that I wouldn't have even addressed. But she probably saved a lot of other kids who were being spoken to wrong. She went to a whole conference
yeah.
and all that stuff. I would not have done that. But I appreciated it after I saw the impact of what she was doing. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, that do make sense. I wouldn't have gotten her way if I knew that's what was going on. I was like, I wouldn't have done it, but okay, do you? But I'm like, dang, yeah, I'm glad you jumped in on that. Because I wouldn't have said shit.
men are so logical and so prone to being tough and learning to take things the way that it is and saying it the first way it comes out of your head without thinking about tone or diction, just the message itself. And that is a big thing of that's where a lot of miscommunication happens, especially because all of that underliningly means something.
So y'all think, I'm like, I'm just telling you,
it's not so we think. It's you ask the CIA. There are so many people and men love to say, oh, that's what y'all think. It's just, no. There are CIA and FBI tactics for interrogating that specifically talk about tone, diction, and word choice and how they play such a big part into understanding the mental of somebody on a deeper meaning.
Yeah,
like, it's literally a study.
Yeah, there's a study, but sometimes you can be overthinking it, too.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're going too deep. Like, that. Look, this is what I told you. Like,
you
I don't
see,
feel
and
like
that was your first
so
thought process,
words.
Saying it, her reaction was too deep. And then when you sat there and you thought about it a little more.
I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's certain ways that are
he's
gonna,
a teenager, but she's still.
He's still. He's
a child.
Yeah. Everybody, I feel like when somebody said the other day, oh, make the legal age 21 the other day. Mm. And then like skip 18, just make it, no, make it 25. The brain does not fully develop.
Right, right.
Until you're 25.
Mm-hmm.
There is a complete mental difference.
Yeah, it is.
As soon as you hit 25. I mean, I don't know about how it's for guys. But me as a female at 25, it was a complete different thought process. It was a complete different
mentality. You know, there's a saying where some lady, certain thought processes don't go past 12. You ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. Like, you never heard that before? Dang, I wish I remember what the saying, right? It's like, it don't go past 12 when it comes to certain things. Like, women going to think the same way as she thought when she was 12 when it comes to these certain instances.
I've heard that is based on traumas.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
Like your reactivity to things is usually based on when you experienced the trauma the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you react the way that you reacted at the age that you experienced that trauma.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm big on the mental and like understanding why we do things that we do.
Yeah,
it's something
too.
That excites me.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Just getting into depths of thought processes, how we do differ, because I mean, you have to, especially when it comes to successful, like you were talking about platonic relationships or relationships with your partner, mm-hmm. in order to understand how they think is very important, very vital. So I do say things differently to my wife. I would say to just like anyone else, because I know how she may take it.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to extend a few words. I don't like beating around the bush, but in some instances, I got to do this for her in this case, so she don't feel like I'm feeling some type of way or.
But it shouldn't just be with relationships, because I didn't learn that with relationships. The first place that I learned, like, you can't talk to everybody the same way. They're not going to understand it. They're going to react. Was jobs.
Oh, yeah.
When I started managing and like I'm now like having people do things. If I can talk to this person, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to talk to this person, sweet. And hey, sweetheart, I need you to go do this for me real quick. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody else. I have to talk a completely different way. I got to talk to him like a little YN, and I got to bring it out.
Yeah, you got to know your audience.
Because he's not going to take it. I talk to him sweet. He think I'm BSing.
Right.
He going to do what he want to do.
Right, right. Yeah, 100%.
So that was the first time that I realized, like, you can't talk to everybody the same way.
Mm-mm.
And you got to learn it with everybody.
Right.
Because unless you don't want your point to get come across. And I don't think it's like, I don't think it's necessarily like, and that's the reason why I would say it's not manipulation, like code switching, because mm-hmm. I can see how it'd be okay.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Because it's not, appealing to the person to get my message across in the way that I think that they're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, that's true too.
I can't come to my man nagging and yelling about a problem. He's not going to understand it. I have to come to him or anybody. I mean, certain situations.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, that's something that took a long time to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a difference. Y'all automatically tune it off. Y'all automatically tune it out.
Yeah, too much nagging. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, I can't keep going with this. Like, you can start sounding like what Charlie Brown, womp, 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 womp. Like, I'm just going to leave. So, even with the new life track, just thinking about new life, a lot of times people think of new as in good, but sometimes, when we make a pivot or see if that grass is green on the other side, that new can be a setback or it can be something that can catapult you, mm-hmm. Can you talk to any situation where, okay, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm gonna try something new, and kind of it's like, oh, whoa, this was a setback. versus when you try something new and like, okay, this really set me off in a good direction?
I say when I first I think it was probably like 2023, I first started trying to really push my music again. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was also trying to get out of and stay away from a very toxic relationship. Mm. And in the midst of doing so, I thought I was making a great decision by hiking my butt all the way to Houston. Mm-hmm. And changing course mid thing because I didn't want to go through a cycle again.
Right.
And in reality, I got out to Houston and it wasn't,
it was a different experience.
It was a much needed experience, mm-hmm. but it was not what I thought it was going to be. I did not, I didn't take off.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, there was so much,
it's kind of like a reactionary response
because just, I was, it was brand new. I don't know anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then I got out there and I'm trying to completely change my life. I stopped smoking yeah. and everything, but then I started drinking.
A different one. Yeah. So true.
It wasn't the best. So then I ended up being like, okay, I'll go back.
Ah, got you. So also wanted to, let's pivot a little bit. I got this segment on my show called Love, Loyalty, or Respect. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a certain relationship. You let me know if love, loyalty, respect you feel is the most important in that particular relationship. Mm-hmm. So love, loyalty, or respect when it comes to like your man, your husband, or serious relationship.
Respect.
Why respect?
Respect because you can, just because I'm loyal to you doesn't mean that I respect you.
Ooh.
But just because I love you doesn't mean I'm going to be loyal to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you respect me as a person,
mm-hmm.
then that genuinely means that you care about me to mm-hmm. a certain extent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that holds a different weight than love
yeah.
or loyalty at that point, because love and loyalty will come with respect.
Right. Yeah. And when you think about it, any like real relationship, respect comes first. Like you have to respect someone initially to even have a healthy mm-hmm. relationship.
Because if you don't respect me, you're not going to be loyal and right. you're not going to love me.
Right. Right. Yeah. I can feel that. Okay, so love, loyalty, or respect when it comes to your best friend?
I say probably it's same respect.
Hmm. Okay, I can feel that.
Same respect.
So can you, if you are in a serious relationship, can you have a best friend of the opposite sex?
I don't believe in that, no. I tried. Mm-hmm. I wanted to. I grew up, I have three blood brothers, mm-hmm. One on either side that are older than me. And then my younger brother, we have the same mother and father.
Right.
But we weren't close at all. None of my brothers and I were not close at all.
Okay.
And I grew up looking for family, looking and certain like wanting brothers. Every time I think a dude is close enough to me, he just wants some.
Mm.
He just wants some. I don't think I've had a platonic, a genuine. It's they're just masking it until
them panties drop.
Yeah.
they're waiting patient. It's some real patient niggas out here. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Yeah.
He will play that role until it's finally available.
they think it's available because right. I don't believe it. If I'm calling you my friend, you my friend.
Right.
You my brother, you my brother. I ain't in no incest. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be a foreplay. Right. No.
Yeah. If y'all out there, you think you like you gonna get somewhere with her? She already told your brother, like,
yeah, no,
y'all just buddies, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. That's so real. Like, I definitely heard of some people like coming to that situation where like, okay, yo, man, my old lady, she feel like she has this best friend. She's a dude. He's been around for this long. I don't know if I should accept this dude or not.
Unless he's gay.
He ain't gay. But he, how about that best friend actually has a partner? Do you think it should be acceptable then?
No. Yeah. I don't think it should be acceptable. And this is speaking from a feminine perspective, because I've never had no dude that I kind of liked and be like, oh yeah, you my best friend. Like, yeah. No, I'd be like, what we doing? Like, right, what's up? Right. Like, yeah. I'm not being around, but I mean, I'm a Leo. I'm not being around a bush. Yeah. So, I can't see that. Cause at the end of the day, no,
no. Yeah. Facts. No. I'm with you 100%. So with this relationship, what's the most important? Love, loyalty, or respect when it comes to your relationship with yourself?
Love.
Mm. Talk to me. Why?
I gotta love myself.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I can say I respect myself, and when it comes to yourself, respect isn't necessarily love.
Right.
Cause I can respect myself and have certain morals and have certain values that show that I respect myself.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I love myself. So when it comes to self, love has to come first.
Yeah, yeah. You got to love yourself through the ups and the downs. Still have that love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get lost if you don't. Like, you'll get so caught up in that situation that you might even harm yourself if you don't love yourself.
Yeah,
because
this
situation is so tough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely dig that. Now, also, I have another little segment. Since you are a singer, you're a writer, you're a poet, I want the people to get some insight on your tastes.
Okay.
So I got this segment called Who You Rocking With. It don't mean you dislike the other person. Like, I might give you some singers, might give you some rappers. You let me know which one you're rocking with. Like, if it's on this playlist, I'm choosing that one first, that name pop up. I'm going to listen to this person. All right. So who you rocking with? Summer Walker or SZA?
SZA.
Why SZA over Summer Walker?
That's just, I like, there's one album, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's not really a specific reason. I know more songs by SZA.
Right.
I had a big SZA phase.
Yeah.
I was just listening to SZA this morning.
Getting your vibe right with SZA.
I was just listening to SZA this morning. Yeah, 21 Clocks.
Mm.
That entire album. I love that album.
Okay, so next, who you rocking with? Brandy or Monica? They on tour right now. Who you gonna hit play on first?
Probably Brandy.
Ooh.
Probably Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy tough. Yeah. Monica tough too.
Monica, yeah, it's a hard. Monica's playing right after Brandy now. Like,
right,
I mean,
right, or, right.
I probably won't even choose. I put them both on shuffle.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. Who you rocking with? You know what I'm saying? You half and half. Taylor Swift or Beyonce?
Oh. Okay, see, I like Taylor when she was country. I do not like her pop.
Wow.
I don't. It's corny. I loved her when she was country.
Wow.
I absolutely adored her when she was country. Her country albums when she first came out, loved her.
You think it was more personable when she was country?
Yes. She went commercial. I mean, of course, money. I mean,
money, yeah.
And no shame to the game. It's just,
mm-hmm.
Not my vibe. I loved her country music.
Yeah.
I'm big on country.
So
I
Taylor
loved
Swift
her.
Country album versus Beyonce country album.
Taylor Swift. I'm sorry. That might be the end of my career right there. Let me rephrase
now, Beyonce
that.
Knows Taylor Swift go hard.
We're not going to speak on Beyonce's country album.
Okay. We just speak about her body of work as a whole. Then we know that's.
I love Beyonce.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Beyonce. She shaped She's a queen. Who doesn't know Beyonce? Who doesn't love Beyonce?
Right.
She's an amazing catalog. Mm-hmm. So you can play her and get all different types of vibes.
Right. Right.
So that's dope. Which yeah. I kind of pride myself in as well. I'm not just like stuck on like a one genre right. type thing. Mm-hmm. So I like that. But
yeah. I noticed that with you too. So that's dope. I heard definitely some pop with some of your stuff too. Mm-hmm. You know, Taylor Swift, she talked about you going pink. To pop. She done did a little pop too now, Taylor. Go ahead and tell you. But all right, so who you rocking with? Last one, Money Long or Kalani? Are you familiar with those two?
Money Long. That's the girl that sings Hours, right? Yeah. Okay, I mm-hmm. like that song. I don't really know too many songs off the top of my head by Kalani. I listen to a lot of old school music.
Okay.
So I hope nobody sees this and be like, oh, she don't fuck. Like, no.
So who's some
like,
of your top old school people you listen to?
Lately, I've been heavy on Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay.
Lenny Kravitz, Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. What you know about that?
I've been very like, just like, anything that makes me want to dance mm-hmm. and just have the most positive vibe,
right?
That is what I've been ingesting a lot of lately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. So you guys actually heard a little bit of her style. Definitely check out some of her music as well. And when it comes to checking out your music, how can people find it and get in tune with you?
I'm on all platforms.
Okay.
I have 3 songs that are on platforms. And I'm sure have another 2 dropping soon. Mm. I'm also trying to put together a small EP. We've got some stuff in works.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hey, well, whenever you drop your new songs, definitely let us know. I would love to hear it. You guys make sure you tap in. I have all her information in the description below. We appreciate your time and rocking with us today. So until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace.
The Highest Point Podcast.
More than a pod, it's a lifestyle. Lifestyle.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.